Behind this was a major by the name of Tui Spots. And the idea was to see if they could set a long endurance record. So they had two aircraft. The question mark was the one that was a receiver. The other one would take off, land. They would pass oil down through a can so that they could replenish the oil in the engines. And then they would actually pass the fuel through a hose. And at one point in this thing, Spots gets drenched in fuel to the extent that he has to take off his clothes. So he's up there flying around naked in the first receiver, if you will. But they actually did end up setting a record in 1929. But air refueling kind of went away. Nobody really exploited it until the British started doing it, because they had the British Empire and they were trying to fly commercial aircraft long distances. They actually tried to do it commercially. But there was no real air refueling until after the Second World War. And after the Second World War, the United States bomber forces needed a way to hold targets at risk in the Soviet Union. And the only way they could do that is if they had air-to-air refueling. And so the guy who was the first chief of staff of the Air Force and the guy who implemented air refueling was, interestingly enough, a guy by the name of Tui Spots, the same guy who had been in the question mark.
That's a great story, too, and yeah. You just heard it from the guy that would know it, too. What a great story. Did you, in your career, ever think that we would be talking about this next generation so soon? Because it seems like everything we have does a wonderful job. What are you excited about in the next generation of tankers that we're going to talk about later tonight?
Well, I think that, you know, the next generation is here with a lot of today's technology and not a lot of tomorrow's technology. And I think that we are about to see a new air mobility requirement study come out. And part of that requirement study will be, what will the follow-on tanker to the KC-46 be? Which, you know, we don't have the first KC-46 on the ramp yet. And there'll be 179 of those. And there'll be something that replaces that. Right now, it's either called the KCY or the KCZ or whatever it's going to be. And I just talked, before I came up here, I called General Everhart, who is the commander of Air Mobility Command, because he owns tankers, and I didn't want to say anything about tankers that was not in line with the current thought. And the message he told me is, he said, look, there is a thirst for air refueling, because it is the thing that enables the global reach, the global power projection of the United States of America. If we're talking about naval aircraft, we're talking about Air Force aircraft, the tankers are at the center of that. And so we've got to get this next tanker right. I think that the KC-46 is going to give us a lot of great service. There's only 179 of them. And so you got the whole 135 fleet that's out there, and you have the KC-10 fleet, and they have got to be replaced eventually, because this nation cannot afford to be without a robust air refueling capability.
There you go. Yeah. Now, for those of you that don't know General Fogelman and what he did afterwards, he kind of continued along the same line. I mean, you moved stuff from one unit to another unit. When I first met you, you told me you were number one in the number two business, and you said what to me backstage? You said it was a great career after DC.
Yeah, well, what he's really referring to is when Miss Jane and I were building our retirement compound out in Colorado, the first thing we built was the guest house. And so somehow she magically would contract with this portable toilet guy, and there would be a toilet show up. We'd use it, we'd go, and I, you know, it was all taken care of by Miss Jane. So one day we were out there on an extended visit, and this guy comes up to me and he says, hey, you're in the military, right? I said, yeah, I am. He said, you're going to retire someday. Yep. He said, how'd you like to buy my business? I didn't say, you got to be me, but I'm a polite guy. I said, tell me about your business. And he said, well, I said, first of all, why are you selling it? And he said, I've made all the money that I'll ever need. Whoa, suddenly that got my attention. There may be more to this than I realize. So eventually, over time, I go back to Washington, you know, after that, and we're in the general officer mess, and, you know, the guys say, hey, boss, what are you going to do when you retire? I said, well, I was going to go raise pigs in Tennessee, but I just had this new offer. And so here, let me tell you what I'm thinking about doing now. And, of course, they loved it, and it became a sort of a rolling joke. And then we retired. We've been retired about a month, and this guy shows up at my door. He says, when are you going to buy my business? So I went into the, I looked at it, and I said, you know, if we were going to get in a business, we ought to do something that we're used to dealing with. And just coming from Washington, I was used to dealing in that medium. So
there you go.
It was perfect.
What a guy. Well, listen, yeah. I'm glad you're here tonight. Listen, I want to bring out another special guest tonight that we have here. Go ahead, to talk about tankers. General Dunbar is back here, and he is the head of the Air National Guard here in the state of Wisconsin, Our host state tonight. So please, let's bring him out tonight, too. General Dunbar's back here. We have a lot of great folks here for you tonight. Come on out and join us, General Dunbar.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to do this like
we'll just keep moving down.
Talk shows. We'll
talk to me about tankers here in Wisconsin and what this event means to your state.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's great to be with you tonight in the National Guard in Wisconsin. In the Air National Guard, we have two wings. We've got F-16s in Madison and KC-135s. Our models in Milwaukee. I had the privilege of commanding that unit about 10 years ago. 10 aircraft assigned there. We have about 14 crews, and most of them are the traditional National Guard personnel that work in the community. Some fly for airlines, some work with the airlines, others work with law enforcement or downtown, and they just do an extraordinary job. It's one of the highest operations tempo for our great United States Air Force right now, and I couldn't be prouder of them.
Well, we're glad you're here tonight, and on this panel this evening, we chose it very specifically for this event because we're going to tell a story tonight that really highlights something very unique in the world of tankers. And I want you to appreciate that this is the first time that this crew has been together in 35 years. And I want to bring them out right now because we're honored to have the lumpy guys here. This was a mission that was no different than any tanker mission that you guys have flown or have organized. But something went wrong. And we're going to let you hear that story from the men that were there. Please welcome Mike Clover, who is the co-pilot, is going to come out here. And you guys can stay wherever you want to. It doesn't
matter.
We're
going to move down.
That's fine. We're going to play musical chairs all night long tonight. Douglas Simmons, who was the boom operator back there. Here's Mike. I'm not sure where Doug is. He's coming out. Mike Bouchard is also back here. And Mr. Ron Kraft is out here. Now, look, I'm camping in a bread truck down there in Warbirds, and they're all sitting way downwind, so I don't blame them. Glad you're all here tonight, guys. Come on down, guys. We'll just take a seat here, and I'm just going to keep playing musical chairs myself. You guys took off for a regular mission. You were headed overseas, and Ron, it was your very first TDY on a tanker going over to theater.
Correct.
And you were working next to the Intimidator. You were the assistant crew chief, and I'm not even sure what an assistant crew chief does, but you were the assistant crew chief. And then, Mike, you were the crew chief. Moving on down the line, Doug was the boom operator, and his story is very important here. And then just down the line, Mike Clover, the other Mike, was the co-pilot. And we have deliberately left three chairs vacant over there. And Mike, tell us what that is significant of.
Greetings to everyone across the folks here in Wisconsin. That signifies three of the crew members that are not present tonight. Bob Goodman, our aircraft commander, Carl Wojciechowski, who was our navigator on the crew, on the tanker crew, and the pilot of the F-4, that was Major Alexander.
Major Alexander, right.
So those members are not with us tonight. They're deceased at this And we do have the fourth member, the back seat of the F4, and through scheduling conflicts, he could not make it tonight.
That was Mr. Dan Silvis, who couldn't be here with us tonight. But you took off for a regular mission. And I want to add something right off the bat, because like every good crew chief, it was you who said, we're not leaving until we get a new boom on this jet. And he's very humble, but he did say that. And that adds to the story here. So, Mike, here you are. You're flying along. You're headed over to Europe on a I guess a crested cap deployment, part of reinforcement.
Reforger
over there, and you're all headed over there for this grand TDY to Europe that probably, I'm just guessing, was a lot of fun back in the 80s.
It was European Tanker Task Force.
Right.
Crews competed for it to get certain trips, and that was one of the bennies. Hey, I want that trip. Because we got a follow-on side trip, not just to England, we got to go to Spain. So that was the bonus. So we were looking forward to it.
Everybody's excited. Here we go. We're off on this big European vacation. And then you hear something on the radio.
Yeah,
walk us through
up
this.
We launched up, two cells of aircraft. We have two 135s and a KC-10 and some F-4s. And we have a second cell, KC-10, two 135s and F-4 receivers. We happen to end up being the first cell, and all of a sudden, one of the F-4s develops an engine issue. So he has to start thinking about, maybe I need to divert. And he starts turning around because he's starting to lose thrust, he's starting to lose altitude. And it's like, before we get too far out over the pond, let's start turning around and come back to safety and to land.
Now, even though this was in September, the water temperature down below is pretty chilly, isn't it?
They said
32.
About 30 degrees.
30 degrees.